The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill for Monday the 20th of November. Looking ahead to the action coming up from Leicester, Wolverhampton and Plumpton. It's live on William Hill's Racing Radio from 12:40. It's going to be Sam Norris, Tom Morley and Ollie Pimlott taking you through the action. Full previews on all the races, selections and commentaries on those races as well. But for now, at the end of a busy weekend of action at Cheltenham and elsewhere, my name's John Gibby, joined on the podcast today by Rory DeLarghi. Rory, are you well?
I am well, thank you very much, John.
Yes, you had to ponder that question for a little while there.
Yes, I'm always worried about saying it in case I'm going to go horribly downhill immediately.
Fantastic. Well, for now, it's good to know that you're keeping in good form. And have you enjoyed the weekend's racing? It's always a great weekend with the action at Cheltenham for the November meeting, as it's now called.
Yeah.
And also further afield.
Yeah, it's a very, very good weekend's racing, as good as there is through the jump season until Grand National Day, certainly. And there's an awful lot to digest over this weekend. Some very, very good racing, both sides of the Irish Sea. This meeting at Punchestown is an absolute cracker. But obviously the November meeting at Cheltenham, full of clues for the future, but also just races to savour on their own.
We'll have a look back at some of those races from the weekend shortly, Rory, but let's start off by having a look at your NAPA Next Best selections for Monday's racing. So we'll build it up. We'll start with your Next Best. Where's that going to run?
Next Best runs in the 3:20 at Leicester tomorrow. It's a conditional jockey's handicap chase. And the veteran Chestnut Ben looks a decent bet here, despite the fact that he's 12. He has been out of form for a while, but has dropped in the weights as a result. This is a 0-100. I mean, it's pretty bad stuff, really. And he drops into this grid for the first time in a long time, if he's ever been in a 0-100. He's rated 102. Under the new rules, you can be £2 above the ceiling and still get in. It means you've got to carry a couple of pounds more than the recommended top weight of 11-12. So he's got 12 stone to carry, but James Bowen rides and claims £3 off him. That, you would have to say, however much a fan you are of Ryan Winks, and he is an improved jockey, sticking James Bowen on board looks a massive positive for the Winks runner at Leicester. And if he can find his old form, and he did hint at a revival at Musselburgh last time out, he's going to be hard to beat. Conditions are fine for him. He's got form on very quick ground. It will be very. It's a strange track, Leicester. You can have almost heavy ground over hurdles and firm ground over fences at this track, because they're essentially on different soil on a different level. The going's always different between the two, but it will be very quick over fences. That's not a problem to Chestnut Ben. He's got lots of placed form on firm and good firm ground. And with James Bowen taking over from Ryan Winks and dropping in class, I think there's an awful lot to like about him. Particularly as the one thing that his slight weakness is tactical speed at this trip. He is a two-miler, but he needs them to go fast. And they should do here because Fair Frank is ridden by Mitch Bastian. Another hugely promising conditional, made all the running when winning on his chase debut at Southall last time out. Rakaya Rosa is an out-and-out front runner as well, and one or two others. Passing Fiesta tends to go forward as well, so it should be a very well-run race, and that is a scenario that should play to the strengths of Chestnut Ben. And I'm hoping he bounces back to form and shows his class.
Yeah, James Bowen now claiming £3, as you say, off the back of the top weight. And it almost feels like James Bowen, you know, much as he's been hyped and stuff like that, shouldn't really be able to race in his conditional jockey's handicaps. And
He only had his first ride a matter of months ago, and we had the opening race of the day here, talking on Sunday at Cheltenham, was won by a conditional jockey who was winning the same race for the fourth time. You can hang around for a fair while as a conditional, but I don't think James Bowen will be. He's going to ride his claim out reasonably quickly. He's getting plenty of rides, both from Paul Nichols. We'll put him up occasionally. He'll be getting rides from Nicky Henderson. He obviously gets plenty of rides from his father, and you know his agent is busy all the time because he's in demand anytime anyone's either looking for someone for a conditional jockey's race, or just looking to claim a few pounds off one, because he's massive value for his claim. He's only claiming three here. Obviously, he claims more against the senior jockeys, but that won't last very long.
Yeah. Well, James Bowen rides Chestnut Bend, the next best selection of Rory De Laghi for Monday's action. It's in the 3:20 at Leicester. And what about your nap, Rory?
My nap comes in the last of Plumpton, the 3:40. And there look to be two horses to concentrate on in the final race. Tempted by Roparta Avenue, who's only having his third run for Chris Gordon, has clearly been coaxed back to form, having left Di Grisel. He was a winner at Fontwell last time out over a similar sort of trip. But I'm a big fan of Mab Dab, the top weight, and the son of Papal Bull's got more improvement than him. He's quite a big unit. He caught the eye once or twice last season, and he was a winner over course and distance. In what was a moderate enough contest here in April, he ran a very good race. I napped him, actually, when he finished third at Plumpton on his return. That was only over 2.5 miles. He was off the bridle almost throughout that race, but kept finding... and wasn't beaten that far. He finished third to the Gamers afoot. He was in a protracted duel with the favourite for that race. The Gamers afoot won quite easily at a big price, and it made it look like it was slightly dubious form, but the winner's come out and won easily again since, and he's, for whatever reason, the Gamers afoot is thriving at the moment, and there was no shame in finishing third to him over that trip of 2.5 miles, especially as he was always on the front end and doing a lot of the donkey work. He will appreciate the step up to this 3 mile, 1 furlong trip again. And with improvement to come, I think that gives him the edge over Roparta Avenue, and he should go very well.
Okay, so your nap and next best out the way now, Rory. We can slightly go up in class, if you will, in terms of the quality of racing up for discussion, and take a look back at some of the big races from over the weekend. Let's start off by looking, as we're speaking now, as you've mentioned, Sunday's action at Cheltenham, the November meeting. Of course, moments ago, as we record this podcast, we've seen Elgin win the Great Wood at 10-1, the starting price for that horse.
Yeah, he was... he's not a bad SP in the end, and I think he drifted to a bigger price late yesterday or this morning, as everyone was trying to be clever and finding horses who've been laid out for the race, whereas Elgin was coming into this off the back of a win. And indeed, the first four home were all coming here off a win.
Mm.
And I think we tend to try to be a little bit too clever and see who's been laid out for it. And indeed, you know, it's always on the agenda for some of the bigger yards. But class often comes to the fore. Elgin was a decent winner at Ascot last time out. He's a horse who beat Jenkins all ends up at Kempton last season, but everyone was still keen to stick with Jenkins on the basis that he could be well handicapped off 10 stone. But
even though the trainer said he's not.
Yeah, well, the trainer said he's not, but he also said he was a different horse this season. You can, with a lot of trainers, you can read two entirely different stories. Nicky Henderson was how the handicapper found a mark of 1.37 was bizarre because he hadn't run to 1.27, but of course his hurdles day before him at Newbury worked out very well. And of course he was odds on to beat Elgin next time out. Elgin turned him over at Kempton, and was giving him weight here. But yeah, Elgin won well in the William Hill listed handicap hurdle at Ascot, beating Limited Reserve and Highbridge. Very solid form. Highbridge fancied for the Supreme last year, for example. And I just think he drifted because he was too obvious.
Yeah.
You know, I've ended up going with a horse who was a 20-1 shot, who's then been backed into 7-1, and Elgin was rather left alone because I guess people thought he'd shown the handicapper too much in winning at Ascot. But clearly he's an improved horse in his second season, as you would expect, to be perfectly honest. And he's done it in decent style. He was also well ridden today, in that I think there was an advantage to race reasonably prominently and race against the outside rail, as is often the case when the ground gets very bad at Cheltenham. And that's what Wayne Hutchinson did on Elgin. And indeed, the first three home all stayed wide and were handy throughout. And I wouldn't say it was an unlucky story in the end, but the new one led against the outside rail in the early stages.
You mentioned a horse that went 20s into 7s. Was this the new one?
It was a new one, yes. Yeah.
He's on a huge race.
He's run a massive race. The one annoying aspect of that was that Richard Johnson decided that the horse who was travelling best was William H. Bonney, which in fairness looked to be the case at the top of the hill. So he switched from the outside to the middle of the track to track William H. Bonney. You don't want to be anywhere near the inside over hurdles at Cheltenham today. And he's rather trod water after that. And then he was switched again from the last towards the stand side and ran on to get past William H. Bonney and grab fourth place. But he definitely would have been in the three if he'd stuck to where he was.
Yeah.
Whether he would quite have had the toe for Elgin in the end. You know, he was chopped for speed coming down the hill, as you would expect for a horse of his age. But he stays on very, very strongly when they turn for home. And I feel that if he'd stayed where he was, he would have had half a chance of grabbing this, whereas the switch to the inside was fatal in the end.
We've already mentioned Jenkins as well. A number of the horses who were fancied for this race have failed to fire in the end. Mahead was off the bridle a long way
Mahead,
out. Of
Mahead was beaten after the first hurdle because he stuck to the inside of the track. Mm. He had absolutely no chance of being in touch, and that's true of several horses. Horses who were held up out the back of the field, very, very hard to make ground given the congested nature of the track, and horses who stayed on the inside had very little chance. So although it looked a very, very strong race on paper, you can put a line through a lot of runs in behind, and you want to be a little bit careful of following the maybe the placed horses. Old Guard, for example, I think is a little bit flatter to finish though. It was given a good ride by Bryony Frost and just picked up the pieces late on. You wouldn't want to be back in one or two of those horses who've gone up in the weights as a result of that, but definitely forgive any horse who was kept towards the inside or kept to the back of the field early on, because that gave them very little chance the way it was run.
No, I don't think I would trust Old Guard as far as I could throw him anyway, even prior to this race. So now we'll switch our attention to the Arkell trial. River Wild sent off the even money favourite for this, but has been earning himself some quotes for the four-miler, no doubt, by the way he stayed on to snatch second in the end. Norfolk Harvey, the impressive winner.
It wasn't a race in the end. It wasn't even a match in the end. I don't think the favourite handled the ground. He was in touch but not entirely happy, and then he jumped slowly at the eighth fence and got himself detached from the other two. And his chance had gone from then, to be honest. Mm. Aussie the Oscar and Northwell Harvey had a bit of a battle, but the outsider Aussie the Oscar, he made his chase debut just 9 days ago, and he was very brave in winning at Warwick, I thought. But his exertions told from the third last. He got really tired really quickly and was left behind. And Riverwild didn't finish fast to grab second. He just stayed on his feet to grab second.
Yeah.
Northwell Harvey won very easily. Again, it's difficult to know exactly what the form is worth, but the winner looked good. He jumped well, he travelled sweetly, and he did everything he was asked to do. So you'd be very, very pleased with that. But nothing happened in behind, essentially. So it was a schooling session for North Hill Harvey. A very pleasing one, though.
It's the old cliche that he can only beat what's been put in front of him. But the form of his win at the track last time, that is working out okay. Move with the Times, running a nice race in behind Finian's Oscar at this meeting on Friday.
Yeah, I mean, that shows that he's a genuine Arkell candidate. So Royal was a decent two-mile hurdler. The one disappointment from that race is Ballyhill, I thought, was a good thing on his next start at Aintree and was disappointing. But a Move the Times ran very, very well on Friday, as you said, and that looked at a solid contest. Whereas this one didn't tell us an awful lot. But in fairness to Northall Harvey, his jumping was exemplary. It was very, very good indeed.
In the Schler Chase, the 225, the Grade 2 race, Fox Norton won it for the second year in a row and has dismissed them fairly comprehensively. Cloudy Dream back in second, you can probably sort of excuse, because this wasn't his initial target. And Special Tiara, the horse that narrowly beat Fox Norton to claim the champion chase at the festival in March, has been beaten just behind Cloudy Dream. So basically he's reversed the form by the score of 8 lengths, Fox Norton here.
Yeah, and that's no surprise, because I thought he was unlucky on the day. and he was probably just a little bit behind coming into the championship. He was, he had a well-publicised injury when winning this race last year. He was set up for an early season campaign. His previous owners had planned or half planned to go to the American Grand National Hurdle, which he didn't go for in the end, but that's run in October. And they won at the showcase meeting at Cheltenham instead. He then won the Stour, picked up quite a nasty an injury to a foreleg where he scraped down the tendon and lost a lot of skin, which meant that he basically was in his box for a month through December. And it was very difficult in those circumstances to get him ready for Cheltenham. He was well beaten behind Altior in the Game Spirit, despite being placed. And I still think he wasn't quite right when he was a good second in the Champion Chase. His wins at Aintree and Punchestown were absolutely spectacular and show him to be the best 2 mile chaser we have around at the moment, and that includes Altior. And he should be favourite for the Champion Chase on this running.
That's a big call for Mr. Rory.
He won't be, but he should be favourite for the Champion Chase.
What about Duvan?
No. Well, Duvan has it to prove, doesn't he? Mm. I mean, Duvan comes out, and if he wins the Tingle Creek by 10 lengths, then automatically he bounces back into place. But with question marks over Duvan and Altior, and absolutely no questions over Fox Norton. The issue with him is Colin Tizard has constantly talked him up as a potential Ryanair horse and says, I think he's a stayer. He's not. Look, he's got tremendous speed. He stays 2.5 miles. He was hugely impressive in the Melling, but he has got more gears than any other 2 mile chaser in this country at the moment. And you've got to face the facts that this is an outstanding champion chase candidate, and stop, you know, stop refusing to look the obvious in the face. I'm not sure what price he's gone for the champion chase. I don't know if you're able to dig it out there before I can.
Work my magic here.
But as I said, I think he should be the favourite for the race. Yeah, the things that happen in the next month could turn that on its head again. But he's absolutely rock solid.
So you'll be wanting to have some of the 8-1.
He's an 8-1 shot. Yeah. That's just all wrong. Well, I mean, the fact that, I mean, Altior deserves to be a reasonably short price, but bear in mind he's only a second season chaser. He was impressive last season, but he struggled home to beat Cloudy Dream in the Arkle last year, and Fox Norton's just beaten Cloudy Dream out of sight today.
And what Nicky Henderson said about Altior the other day was not massively encouraging.
No, well, the fact that they're talking about he won't be able to race between now and the Champion Chase, I think is absolutely bizarre. It's either the trainer being overly careful, because it's just a minor wind up.
Mm.
It should not keep him off the track before Christmas. He should be able to run in the Desert Orchid Chase.
Yeah.
And yet they're saying, well, he can't have a prep race for Cheltenham now. I find that absolutely incredible. So unless there's something else at work there, it just puts me off a little. Certainly at the price, it puts me off, because as I said, Fox Norton has achieved more than Altior has over fences. I know Fox Norton was beaten by Altior, but bear in mind he would have been 50% fit that day. And he just keeps improving. That's a very good performance today. He'll be equally happy on good to firm ground if it comes down to it. And it's just because his trainer is not talking him up.
Yeah.
That he remains backable. He's a bigger price than York Hill, for goodness sake. Although I think York Hill would be a really interesting horse in the Champion Chase. How can you put them next to each other and say York Hill's a more solid option for the Champion Chase? It's madness. Right, it's the same price as Min. What is wrong with the world?
But before Rory's head explodes and before we run out of time, Rory, we need to very quickly have a chat about the action over at Punchestown today. The Grade 1 Morgiana Hurdle with Paul Heen making an incredibly impressive return to the track after almost 2 years off to win by 16 lengths. He's made a bit of a mess of the last, if you're being picky, but other than that, it's been imperious.
Yeah, I'm just looking at that, comparing times as far as I can. It's always difficult to know what a horse like him is achieving when they lead throughout.
Yeah.
And no one could lay a glove on him, and you wonder, you know, would he have found it more difficult if he was challenged throughout? But that's always been the way with Boheen. He's been an absolute bully through his career. The time looks exceptional compared to others on the card. The previous race obviously was a novice chase. And the handicap hurdle wasn't a bad contest. At the top of the round, who won that was due to run in the Greatwood. So that was 17 seconds slow, according to the Racing Post, whereas the Morgiana eight seconds slow. And that strikes me as being, without being an expert in these things, that strikes me as being a very good time on what is meant to be heavy ground.
Yeah.
So he looks as good as ever. The question is whether he can avoid injury again between now and March. You know, he's 9 turning 10. He was pretty fit for this. I know one or two said he was carrying a bit of condition, but he was got ready in the spring.
He looked like he was carrying a bit of condition, and sort of horse watching would not be one of the strengths of my game when it comes to punting, but it's fairly obvious he was carrying a bit of timber.
He's a big horse anyway,
and
he would always carry a little bit of condition. You wouldn't want to see him running up light. And the question is whether he ends up being on the go for too long come March.
Yeah.
That's a slight worry. But it looked like nothing was missing today. All parts of the machine were in working order.
Oh.
I particularly hate the notion that if you just say that phrase, it's somehow meaningful.
Yeah.
Whereas it's just...
This is a nice glib turn of phrase.
It is. It's incredibly glib. But yeah, he looked in working order. That's the main thing. But there's a chance that just looking at that performance on paper and the time experts will come out, because that's what he was doing, racing against the clock today.
Yeah.
And it may well be that was right up there. With his best form, in which case you've got to respect his chances going forward.
Boheen has made a winning return to the track in the Morgiana Hurdle, the Grade 1 over at Punchestown. And if you want to back him for the Champion Hurdle off the back of that, he's gone short. He's 7-4 for the race with us here at William Hill. That's all we've got time for on the Daily Racing Podcast. Rory, thanks for joining me.
My pleasure, thank you.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.